Christian. James Christian. Secret follower of Jesus. Well, isn't that what we read about in the Bible? Secret followers. In the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of John, in particular in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, we read of one of my early predecessors, a secret agent of Jesus. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one, secret agent man, though a secret one because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and removed his body. Now Nicodemus, who was another secret agent, who had first come to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. And they took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with the spices and linen cloths, according to the burial custom of the Jews. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so because it was the Jewish day of preparation and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. And then they went and joined the other secret agents, the other secret followers of Jesus. Or so it would seem. But I guess the question really today is, can we be, truly be a follower of Jesus and be a secret agent man? Can we really be a follower of Jesus and be a secret agent man? Of course, the thing that really surprises me is if you look at the movies or you look at the secret agents and you look at if you look at the politicians that go around, and they've got all the secret service. There's nothing secret about those guys. You can spot them a mile away. They're the guys in the dark suits. Probably not this kind of suit. But they're the guys in the dark suits with the little curly cue that goes up to their ear. And they talk into their sleeves like this. But secret agents. Secret agents are everywhere. There are those who act as secret agents for governments. There are those that act as secret agents for other groups. But can we truly be a secret agent, man or woman, and be a follower of Jesus? Now, first of all, we need to go back to the time frame. We're told in the Bible, here in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, that there were secret agents. Joseph of Arimathea was one. Joseph was a member and a very well-to-do and powerful member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling body in Judaism. And the text says he was a secret follower of Jesus. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, early on, in secret, to ask him questions. And then later, Joseph and Nicodemus show up to claim the body. And they go and they bury that body in secret. Given the tenor of the times, given what the Romans might seek to do, but even more importantly, I guess, given what the Sanhedrin itself would feel about two of its leading members being followers of this radical person, this liberal Jesus, who challenged their understandings and challenged them to go even further in their relationship with God and with each other. What do you think would have happened to them had they not done that in secret, chosen to follow in secret? At the very least, they would have been drummed out of the Sanhedrin, but they would have had all kinds of other things done, including charges of blasphemy against them. And so you can maybe kind of understand early in Christian history how some folks could be followers but be secret followers. And yet even these secret followers would seek to tell others. As the church developed in the first century and beyond, people who would be walking along that might be followers of Jesus, but they were afraid of the authorities. And you might be stopped and talking with someone would sometimes take their foot and draw kind of an arc in the sand. If that person was a Christian, since the fish became a symbol for Christianity, if that person was a Christian and noticed that, they would take their foot and draw the other half of the arc around, forming an ichthus, a fish, and you knew that you were talking with a Christian. If they didn't, then what did you do? You remained a secret follower until you came in contact with others who were followers or others who were open to your sharing with them. Throughout church history and the history of the world, there have been secret followers in other parts of the world. Followers that, because Christianity was not yet the official and popular religion of the Roman Empire, met in secret, met at night oftentimes, met in persons' homes or in caves or in other places, until Constantine in the 4th century gave an edict of tolerance for Christianity. And shortly thereafter, Christianity becomes the official religion of the Roman Empire. But even beyond that, in church history, in other centuries, there were people who were secret about the way they followed Christ and the beliefs that they had, and in fact, the fact that they even read a Bible. Most of them didn't read it in Greek like this one is. In fact, most of them didn't even read it in Latin because the church wouldn't allow them to do so. Only the properly ordained priest could do that. And yet, in secret, they dared to translate the Bible into native languages so that other people could learn the secrets, so that other people didn't have to be so secretive, but could come to know more and more of the things of God through Christ by reading the Bible. And yet, they had to oftentimes be secret followers to avoid being harassed, to avoid being imprisoned, or to avoid, like John Wycliffe and others, being strangled, tied to a stake, and burned to death for the heinous crimes of translating the Scriptures into more familiar language so that people could read for themselves and come not to be secret followers, but come to be followers of God in Christ. So sometimes in history, it seems being a secret follower was a prudent thing to do. And yet even those secret followers didn't keep the secret within themselves totally. But they shared that with other persons so that they too could become followers who then shared it with others. They didn't keep it to themselves. But what about today? What about today? When most homes can have a Bible if they wish, and most homes that claim to have any church people or Christian people in them have multiple copies, although many of them are dusty, have multiple copies, and yet we still remain secret followers, do we not? We are here today. And it's no secret that we are here today, and we are here today to study and to pray and to sing and to worship God in Christ. But you know, now I know some folks are sick. Some folks are traveling. But there are a whole lot of folks whose names are on our list who, some of whom used to be here, and others of whom, even from 40 years ago, some of you don't remember, but they must be secret agents. So I guess maybe you can be a secret agent, right? Or can you? For what does it truly mean to be a follower of God in Christ? Those early Christians, even Joseph of Arimathea, who was a secret follower, even Nicodemus, who was a secret follower, couldn't keep it secret forever. It made a difference in their lives, and they couldn't keep it secret forever. And when Jesus died, they didn't keep it secret. For they came into a dangerous situation, and they claimed a body of one who was considered subversive by Jewish leaders and by Roman centurions and others. To be a follower meant to tell somebody. To be a follower meant to do something with it and not lock it away in a secret compartment somewhere. You know, David's got a book at home where he used to place things that were valuable. And it looks like a normal book. In fact, you can read the first 75 pages of this book, and then all of a sudden you flip it over and there's a compartment. A secret compartment. But you know, our Bibles don't have secret compartments. And the call that God gives us is not to be a secret admirer of God in Christ. Is it? The song by Johnny Rivers, which wasn't the song being hummed, but was the other line, Secret Agent Man, talks about leading a life of danger. And to everyone he meets, he is a stranger. And that's the life of the secret agent man. And you look in the movies, and you look at the CIA, and you look at other folks, and really, part of their persona is to be something other than who they truly are deep down inside, to play those games, to hold those secrets. And while that may work in some areas of life, for we who are Christians, for we who are called and then accept that call, are we to be different each and every day than who God has made us truly to be inside? Well, in some ways, yes. Because when God changes us and we accept that call, we become different from what we had been. But then once we become that different person, that is the person who we truly are in God. And too often we tend to hide that person. Except when we're in places like this. When we're in gatherings as we are this morning. We tend to hide those things, to not truly be who we are at heart. Now, I'm not suggesting that you go and walk around at your job like this, carrying a big old Bible, daring people to even look at you. I'm not talking about being that way and being egotistical. But there are ways that we in our lives are called to get outside of being secret about being followers of Christ. In the ways we conduct ourselves at work, at school, the ways we treat other people with deference and forgiveness and grace, and not demanding our own ways, but looking to them and who they are, so that there can be change. We shared with the children earlier, if we are truly followers, then we have certain tools that are at our disposal so that we can truly be who God has made us to be. Reading our Bibles, not just on Sunday morning or Sunday night or occasionally, but reading them regularly, daily, to try and find what God would have us to do and to make those connections. You know, James Bond wouldn't walk around without his Walther PPK. That's his gun. And for some reason, he wouldn't be caught without a black tux. And he has all those neat little gadgets that Q makes for him. cars and wristwatches that do funny things and all of that. But you know, we have those kinds of things, and we're not to be secretive about them. We're to share them. We have our Bibles that we read. We have other materials to read and study. We have other ways that we can share and not be a secret agent. I tossed one of these at Carrie a minute ago and it didn't go very far. And I really don't like them a lot because the secret agents leave them sitting on bathroom sinks. And I think we have to be careful about the tracts that we get and pass out. But that is another way to share with folks, not secretly going through and saying, let's see, how many bathrooms did we hit today with these things? But rather, as we share with folks, if we find that perhaps they would like to know more, we have something we can share with them to give to them. Brochures about Christ, brochures about the church, which we have a stack of. We have wonderful cards that we call postcards. The art of letter writing seems to have gone by the wayside for many folks. We got the computers, we send emails, but that's really not very personal. A handwritten note to let someone know that you care and that you love them simply because God loves you in Christ. That's a way, that's a weapon that the secret agent has, but it's not so secret. Because once you begin sharing those things, it's the secret's out of the bag. But then again, did Jesus call us to be secret followers? What was His commission to His followers? If you are My disciples, then what will you do, Jesus says? You will go. You will make disciples. You will tell. You will gather together. You will confess. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Jesus talks, and He talks about whether we can really be a secret agent or not, keeping those things inside. Everyone, therefore, who confesses Me before others, I will also confess before My Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies Me before others, I will also deny before My Father who is in heaven. Confession. Letting others know by the way we live, by our words, that we are indeed followers, not just of anyone, not just of any religion, but we are followers of God in Christ. You know, confession's good for the soul, right? And what do we usually think of when we think of confession being good for the soul? Confessing our sins, and that is important. But every bit as important for our souls and for the souls of others is confessing Christ to others and with others. Confession is not just good for the soul. When we do that, confession is good for the world. As they come to know that there is something different, but that something different is now who we truly are as God would have us to be. Far too often, we simply run through the verse in Psalm 119, Your word have I hid in my heart. Thank you. Yes, that I might not sin against You. And we say that, but do we really keep that word in our hearts? If we truly take that word from God into our hearts, yes, it may, and if we take it to heart, that word may keep us from sinning against God and sinning against others. But there's another part of that. When we truly hide that word within our hearts, it is to invigorate us and enliven us so that we don't hide it there, locked away, never to be seen again. but so that from there it might proceed forth in the things we say and do. As confessors. Confessors of that grace of God in Christ. Far too often, though, in our lives, especially in such a hectic time, far too often we cut that verse off in reality. In word, we may continue to say it, but for far too many of us, it's simply, "Thy word have I hidden." Not even in my heart. "Thy word have I hidden." I've tucked it away, saved it for a rainy day, or when I need it in secret. And yet, is that to what God calls us? No. We are called to be God's agents. We are. You and I are each and collectively called to be God's agents. But we're not called to be secret agent man. We're called to be agents of change. Change with God's grace. Change with God's love. Change in our lives so that others might change as well. We are called to confess not just our sins to God and to each other, but to confess God's grace and God's love to a world that doesn't need the secrets. There are far too many secrets. But to a world that is in need of finding true followers. Followers and harbingers of grace. Followers and givers of peace. Followers and grantors of new life together in Christ. So the question mark in the title of the sermon today was not an accident. Secret agent man? Not if we follow as we are called. And we will prepare those weapons of grace. Reading Scripture. Praying. Singing. Giving a cup of water. A gentle hand. A kind word. A confession. A confession that God has made me different deep down in secret. And now I have to share it right out in the open. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before You thanking You for all of the opportunities that You give us to share not only with You, but to share You with a world in desperate need of Your open grace, Your forgiving love. Help us to not hide Your word, but rather help us to place it deep within our very being and allow it to grow so that others can truly know that we are followers and that You call all. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is 676. "Oh Jesus, I have promised. I promise to love You to the end, to be Your follower, to not have secrets, but rather to share. To share the pathway with You and with others. Our altar is open for any decision that You might make. Oh Jesus, I have promised."